Okay, good evening and welcome back. Tonight's topic is that of drama, and I should warn you in advance, we're in no way going to finish it. I actually made a source sheet that I was going to give you, which only I have, because it's 20 pages long, and I figured that I could stop the Xeroxing at page 8. And in that sense, tonight's chabura is really going to be one of food for thought. We're going to consider three or four sources that discuss this topic of grama, and perhaps another time we could continue, but this will hopefully set up the basic construct which will help us solve these types of problems. The truth of the matter is, I was discussing with David, that these questions come up all the time, especially in the world of modern technology, whether it's grama machines, but even forget fancy grama machines, all sorts of things, opening up the door to my house or to the oven or pressing buttons or the like. And these questions are only going to become more and more commonplace. So that's the goal of tonight, is to open the discussion, to give you some food for thought. The first source that you saw is a Gemara on Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chaf, and the Gemara basically tells us that if a person is in a situation where they have a fire in their house, this, of course, I should stress, we mentioned this before, a non-life-threatening fire, there's no chance of any danger to life. There's even a small chance of pikuach nefesh, where mechalel Shabbos in the most efficient possible way. But here, there's no chance of any danger. So the Gemara says the way we're going to put this out is by surrounding the fire with barrels, such that when the barrels, when the fire reaches the barrels, the fire will break the barrels and the water will extinguish the fire. Now we should note here that this is bechavana. I intend, when I put the barrels here, I intend for them to put out the fire. And presumably it's inevitable. And nevertheless, the Gemara says this is okay. Now, I said presumably it's inevitable, because if you got to some of the later sources, including the Ramban and the Rash and the Ritva, many of them say that this is only justified because it is a suffix. But the simple reading of Gemara is certainly that this is inevitable. So even though it's bekavana, and even though it's certain, since it's indirect, I'm not putting out the fire. The fire breaks the barrels, the water then puts out the fire. That's okay. Now, if you took a look at the Shulchan Aruch says that this is permissible. The Bir Halacha below points out that this is not just true for Mechabe, but it's true for all 39 Malachos. It's true even though it's Bekavana. However, the Rama points out that this is only true B'makom Hefseid. Now, not everyone agrees to this. This is based off of a Chiddush of the Mordechai. Some Rishonim say that grama is always okay. The Gemara doesn't actually give any restrictions, and others say no, since the context of the Gemara is one of Hefseid, so then perhaps this is only permissible b'makom Hefseid, otherwise it would be an Isser d'Rabbanan. But still, we want to solve this problem, because it would be mutter b'makom Hefseid, b'makom Mitzvah, and the like. So that's the first source, the first case of grama. The second case I want to consider with you is on page 2, and that's a Gemara from Bava Kamma Daf Samech, which perhaps paints the opposite picture. The Gemara over here is discussing damages, and if one person sets a fire, which then spreads through wind, they're putter. Now the details of this are complex and somewhat beyond the scope of tonight's discussion, but the conclusion is that when the fire is spread by the wind, that's considered grama, and grama benezikin potter. The Gemara asks, why is this different than one of the 39 malachos known as zora? Zora is winnowing. The way they would separate wheat from the chaff is you take a pitchfork, you throw the mixture up in the air, the wind blows the chaff away because the chaff is lighter, the heavier wheat falls down, and you thereby accomplish the separation. Now, the Gemara says, in that case, you're chayav. It's an Isser D'Oraisa. Why is that different than the fire spreading through wind? In both cases, In both cases, one should be chayev. That's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara gives an answer. Ravashi says that this is different. Hani mili l'inyan Shabbos demeleches machsheves asra Torah. Now, what does that mean? What is the significance of meleches machsheves? So Rashi says meleches machsheves asra Torah niskaima machshavto denichale beruach misayato. There's a big difference. In the case of Nezikin, I don't want this fire to spread. In the case of Shabbos, I want to utilize the force of the wind to separate my ta'aroves. So the simple reading of Rashi is that if it's mechavein, it's aser, and if it's not mechavein, it's mutter. Now, if that's all Rashi is saying, that will leave us with a question with respect to the Gemara we started with, because in the Gemara that we started with, it's grama, but it's certainly mechavein, and yet we say it's mutter. The Rush's understanding of the Gemara avoids that question. The Rush writes, source 3 on page 2, Dehasa meleches machsheves asra Torah, afal pi delo have ela grama be'alma, behachi chiva Torah. In this case, in the case of Zorah winnowing, the Torah said you're chayev, even though it's only grama. Kevan de melacha zu ikar asiyasa al yedei ruach. Because the way in which Zorah is done is through the wind. Avohacha grama be'alma v'grama b'nezikin pater. Sounds like he's saying, though here too, it's not so simple, but it sounds like he's saying Zorah is different. And Reb Chaim Ozer, in a famous tshuva about electricity, which is briefly cited in the footnote over here, makes this point. He says that if you follow the view of Rashi, then we don't distinguish between melachos with respect to grama. And if you're mechavein, it's a problem. Whereas if you follow the Rush's view, then the only time grama is a problem on Shabbos based off of melachos machsheves is in a situation where that is the manner in which the melacha is done. So it would apply to Zorah. It wouldn't apply to other melachos. So here too, we have a fundamental machlokes with respect to a limitation on grama. If we accept the Rush's position, grama is sometimes going to be okay on Shabbos and sometimes not going to be okay. In the first Gemara we saw, where the grama is allowing for kiboy, extinguishing of a fire. So the normal way of extinguishing a fire is not with grama. Normally, how do I extinguish a fire during the week? I would pour the water directly on it. It's not grama. So therefore, grama is pater and mutter. Whereas in the case of Zorah Beruach, grama is aser. Why? Because the normal way of doing it is grama. And therefore, in every malacha, we'll ask, well, what's the normal way? Is this malacha normally carried out through grama? Then it's going to be a problem. But that's only true with respect to Zorah, maybe a couple other malachos. The vast majority of malachos are generally carried out via dayan, not through grama. And therefore, grama is going to be okay. So that is source two. We haven't defined grama yet.
No, but how do you define, like, used to be the only thing without water, fire was water.
Mm-hmm.
Today you have these foams that retard fire and stuff like that.
Okay, that's a great question. In other words, what about if I'm not putting out the fire, I'm simply preventing it from spreading? Is that going to be grama? And there's another example, potentially, example of that in the Gemara and Shabbos in our first source. What's interesting is the Gemara gives us another example of grama. It says if you have a talus that's on fire and you put water on the periphery of the talus, let's say, such that the fire can't get beyond that. So you're not actually putting out the fire through the water. You're just making the talus fireproof. In that case, it's also considered a grama. The Gemara equates that case with the case of the barrels, which is interesting. So the Gemara, but on the other hand, the Mishnah gives another example of putting leather, which is fireproof, on the table. And in that case, it's not even a grama. So your question is really a very good question. Is there a distinction between preventing the fire from spreading and thereby causing the fire to put itself out simply from lack of fuel, or actively putting it out? That's a Gemara that the Gemara does make, but it's unclear, a distinction the Gemara does make, but it's not clear how far to take that. So that too is very good. All right, the next case. This is perhaps the most interesting case. Question of grama is the issue of hasara samoneya. That means removing an obstacle. And here too, we seem to have lots of contradictions. On the one hand, the Gemara says on Shabbos, the source Kuf Chaf on the base at the bottom of page 2, the Gemara says that it is a problem to open up a door in the event that by opening up the door, the wind is going to blow out the candle. So we don't say in that case that I am simply removing a barrier and therefore it's okay, it's grama. Rather, we say that it's usur. Now, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, and the truth of the matter is, this Gemara in Sanhedrin, though it's not talking about Shabbos at all, it's on page 3, might be the most important source for our discussion on grama, and specifically with respect to dealing with issues of modern technology. In fact, Rabbi Willig told me, in the name of the Rav, that the question concerning grama machines will hinge on how you interpret this Gemara, and specifically whether you understand the Gemara like Rashi or like the Rama. Now, what does the Gemara say? So the Gemara says that if I tie up a person and then put him down and redirect a flow of water towards him such that now he's drowned, I am chayev. That's considered ritzicha, and it's chayev. One is only chayev for ritzicha if it's direct. Grama beritzicha is pater. It's not a nice thing to do, but you will not be executed in Beis Din for doing so. So this is considered direct. Even though all I've done was redirect the water has killed him. However, this, the Gemara says, is only true if it's koach rishon and not koach sheni. What's koach rishon? What's koach sheni? That's the key question. Rashi focuses on samech umiyad. Now, this Rashi is quite difficult, but for now, we'll simply present it as follows. In the event that the result is immediate, he's right in front of the redirected water, the person who redirects the water is chayv misa. In the event that there's some form of delay, it sounds like it's okay. This is one of the reasons why those who permit grama machines permit it, because they say, Rashi tells me, as long as it's not samach umiyad, it's okay, it's grama. So in cases where grama is justified, as we noted earlier, you need makom hefseid or makom isser, the like, but in cases where grama is justified, perhaps as long as it's not samach umiyad, it's okay. Now the Rama rejects Rashi. The Rama begins by noting the following. He says, first of all, why should I be chayv at all? I'm not the person making the water go forward. It's gravity. The water is going on its own. So why should I be chayv for unleashing the potential of the water? That's question one. Question two is an even more potent question. And that is the following. The Gemara earlier had said that if I shoot an arrow, and at the time that I shoot the arrow, there is a shield separating or blocking the person from being hit by the arrow. And then someone else removes the shield. So I'm putter, because at the time that I shot the arrow, it would not have hit the target. And the person that removes the shield is putter, because that's grama. He simply removed the shield.
It's less than grama.
It's even less than grama. Okay. And not only that, but even if I myself remove the shield, I'm super speedy. I shoot the arrow, I get ahead of the arrow, remove the shield, I'm putter. Why? Again, shooting the arrow is putter, because at the time there's a shield. And removing the shield is putter, because it's just less than grama, according to your theory. Says the Rama, why is that any different than the case of Bidka Demaya? Let's say I redirect the river simply by opening up a dam. Right? So I put somebody in front of a dam, I tie him up, and I open the dam. In that case, we say I'm chayev. What's the difference? What's the difference between removing the shield in front of the arrow, where we say you're potter, it's grama, or less than grama, and opening the dam, which we say is chayev? In other words, is hasaras hamonea aser, or chayev, or potter? Likewise, we saw in Shabbos, opening the door, which allows the window to blow out the candle, is aser. So the Rama offers two explanations. He thinks that they're both true. Two explanations of the Gemara. The first explanation is as follows. His first question, remember, was why is anyone ever chayev for killing someone with the water? I'm not the one making the water go. It's the gravitation that's causing the water to move forward. He says that's not a kasha, because even though we require kocho, we don't require that it literally be kocho. He says even when you shoot an arrow, it's not kocho. What's propelling the arrow to go forward is the string. Yet we see that as my direct action. We see it as my kocho. He says, even though it's not kocho, it's kikocho dami, since I'm the cause, and that is sufficient to be considered chayev. So the first point is, you don't need to actually be the cause of the force. So what's the difference between the two cases? He says very simply, in the case of the dam, the water is at the dam. The water is here. I remove the dam, and then the water goes directly and hits the person. In the case of the arrow isn't at the shield yet, right? If the arrow was at the shield, and I removed the shield, it would be putter. So the arrow's over here, I remove the shield, and then it kills the guy. So he says that's different. It's only in the case where the arrow's at the shield, or that would be impossible, where the water's at the dam, that you are chayev. And he says that's exactly what the Gemara means when it distinguishes between koach rishon and koach sheni. Koach rishon is when the water is at the shield, is at the dam. Koach sheni, where your putter, is where the water's upstream, and I remove the dam, I open up the dam, I open up the obstacle before the water's hit it. So this distinction does not hinge upon samach umiyad. Rather, it relates more to the question of whether the shield is holding back the arrow or not. So in the case of hasaras hamoneya, is hasaras hamoneya grama and pater, or biadaim and chayev? That's actually going to depend on the nature of the moneya. Is it here yet, or is it on its way? So, as I mentioned before, this is just food for thought, the beginning of a fascinating sugya, but you could see even from the discussion of these few makoros how the understanding and the nature of grama will have major impacts on our observance of Shabbos. Have a wonderful evening.
Is that 1 second or 2?